How's it going, everybody? My name is Adam, and welcome into the Homeward Path podcast, a show by MTG Dads for MTG Dads, and frankly, anybody else who wants to listen, don't treat it as a statement of exclusivity on my part. It is not. It is the furthest thing from what it is. So, for those of you who don't know, and based on the fact that this is my first episode on the Conservatism Network, I would wager that is most of you. I am a husband, a father, a full-time factory worker, and I somehow find time and money to play Magic. Not a lot of either, but that's more or less the gist of the show, is kind of the struggle we go through as people who actually treat Magic as a hobby but still want to be as competitive with it as we can. That's what it's about. And if, you know, telling my story, telling what I'm doing, what I'm going through helps somebody else continue to play the game or helps somebody who's trying to take their game to the next level achieve what they're after, I've done my job. That's the way I look at it. Now, I would be remiss if I did not thank Spencer Howland directly for giving me this opportunity on his network. With this, you know, the kind of clout that his network has, I cannot thank you enough. It was the farthest thing from my mind when I first, you know, sent you that link. So I thank you again from the bottom of my heart. This show is brought to you by inkedgaming.com. If you want to save 10% on your order of awesome supplies, play mats, dice bags, you can get sleeves. There's all kinds of, you know, cases, everything. They've got basically all of the accessories you could want in one place. And if you want to save 10% off your order, you can do so by using the promo code CCMTG10 at checkout. I tested it myself. It does, in fact, work. So, beyond that, I'm in the process of setting up a Patreon if you wish to support the show directly. I'll trying to figure out what my reward tiers are and what kind of rewards I can expect to, you know, what kind of things I can expect to give you back for supporting the show. So as soon as I have that set up, I will be glad to share that here. If you want to do so indirectly, you can just go to patreon.com/ccmtg and donate to the network as a whole. Speaking of the network, if you're looking for other Magic content, check out all of the other shows on the Constructed Criticism Network at constructedcriticism.com. The flagship show is great. The Constructed Criticism itself, limited time only, common knowledge, they're all fantastic. Check them out, please. Not for my benefit, for yours. I like to lead off each week kind of talking about what's been going on in Magic in the last week or so. This past weekend, we had an SCG event at Indianapolis. Very exciting, a modern open. For those of you who don't know, and for those of you who do, I mean, you're probably still excited about it if you are remotely interested in the modern format. We had some surprising decks show up. Humans was back with a vengeance this week. Jund kind of reared its head a little bit, you know, mid-range as a whole, kind of rear, you know, just mid-range as a whole, mid-range and fair decks in general, just kind of decided to show back up. It was really quite interesting to see, and especially my pick for the deck of the tournament was the deck played by Jeff Hoagland to a top 8 finish, and then there was another one in the top 16. He called it Blue-Red Wizards, but let's be real. This is Blue-Red Delver that just happened to get to play 8 Lightning Bolts. That deck is sweet. I don't know how good it is. I think it largely depends on the kinds of things you're playing against, but that deck is so cool. And the technology of Nimble Obstructionist in that deck, oh my goodness. Being able to, for 3 mana, just not die to a Storm Trigger. That's, wow. You know, and some amount of the time, it's just a 3-1 with flying that you flash in at your opponent's end step to turn on your Wizard's Lightnings. That's still fine. It's still pressure. You're already in for a 3-1 with Flash and Flying and Vendilion Click. So going a step further and adding another one that also can help you not die to unfair decks is a big deal. And that deck is just awesome. And I look forward to seeing if it takes off and gets any amount of innovation done to it. Because I would love to see where that deck goes from where it starts. It's very exciting. I mean, that's all there is to say. Modern as a whole is in an interesting place. Myself, personally, in the last week or two experiencing Modern, I've gotten to play Modern 1K at the local level, and I kind of dipped my toe into finding out just how bad I am at playing Mardu Pyromancer, and the results are not good. I went 2-3 out of 6 rounds. I ended up dropping in the 6th because after losing the 3rd match, I was mathematically eliminated from top 8. You could argue I was after losing the 2nd one, but not really. I was still in there. There was a possibility, and I just did not come through in my last round. So, that was exciting. Just to kind of get my feet wet and play a Modern tournament myself while watching all this other stuff that was going on. It was a good time. It really was. Other things going on in Magic right now, in the grand scheme of things, Standard has kind of shifted violently away from what we thought. There's a big stupid green deck that's good in Standard. I never thought I'd see the day again. Players just have not been prone to picking up that kind of a deck, so it was refreshing to see that. Really refreshing to see that. And, I mean, you know, it was a big shift in the metagame. A lot of decks become viable because of it. There's less Chain Whirlers in general being played, so there's less, you know, there's more incentive to try cards that are maybe less good against Chain Whirler but better against other stuff. It's fine. It's, you know, Standard is healthy, finally. And it's right before we rotate. We got 2 months and then we rotate. So, what are you going to do? Personally, I'm in the process of trying to get ready for rotation. So that kind of wraps up the Magic, what's going on in Magic as a whole over the course of the week. At least for me, I just celebrated my 8th wedding anniversary and my 13th anniversary of being with my wife. So I was less enthusiastic about Magic this past week, and I was much more enthusiastic about, you know, being a husband and a father. So you'll have to forgive me for that. Hopefully that segment has a little more legs going forward. Next up, I want to talk about what I've learned this week playing Magic. And two of my biggest lessons come from my experience playing the 1K. I was playing Mardu Pyromancer in a field that I was largely, I just had no idea what I was going to go up against. I had not played at the local level in Modern at all. So I just kind of tried to cover a lot of bases. I ended up stretching sideboard space the way a lot of people tend to do and the way I tell people not to do, and I didn't listen to myself. And I learned that Modern is a fantastic format. It is a great time. Like, even when you sit down from one of your polarized matchups, to me it didn't take away from the luster of getting to play fast, tight, interactive games against a lot of people. You know, I told them when I sat down to play, I said, if you're going to beat me, you are going to fight, scratch, and claw for every single win you get. And they did, and they won. But that's beside the point. So, you know, what I learned in a nutshell is that Modern is awesome if difficult to prepare for. And part of the reason I ended up going Mardu Pyromancer is because I didn't know what I was up against. I didn't want to play something that was just an absolute dog to much of anything. And I wanted to give myself legs to be able to play my way out of a situation. I'd rather play a deck like that in basically any format that I can, because to me, style points don't appear on tournament reports anyway. Being the coolest deck in the room, being the coolest person in the room, doesn't matter to me. I just want to be able to play Magic. And I want to be able to do so for a long time. So having a deck that's kind of 45-55 against the field and then can play its way through the matchups where it's under 50%, I really like that. But if you want to be the coolest person in the room, you don't have to do it with deck choice. You can just visit our sponsor at inkgaming.com. And check out all the cool stuff. See what I did there? The other thing I learned is while Mardu Pyromancer is a deck that I like, I don't know if it's going to be my long-term deck choice. I might have to get onto something else because I feel my most comfortable when I'm playing Magic, even Standard, Modern, Pauper, Commander even to an extent. I feel my most comfortable when I can leverage the concept of tempo very well, because it's something that I've been doing for a long time. So a deck like Grixis Death Shadow really appeals to me, and the biggest worry to me is that on my budget, I will just never be able to finish the deck because I won't be able to get Snapcasters. But I think if push comes to shove, I will be able to borrow them. So I may just build the deck anyway. Because I love that deck. I really do. Being able to, you know, create a window and then slam it shut in your opponent's face by just getting them dead, it's something that really appeals to me. So it's something that I'm looking forward to. And then, as I said, I'm trying to prep for rotation. I'm trying to get myself ready to be able to play Standard after Kaladesh and Almonkhet blocks rotate. So I'm kind of researching what I think is going to be good on the other side of it based solely on the cards that we have access to now. Because unless Guilds of Ravnica is just an absolutely bonkers block, history serves that deck cores from the existing format port over more easily than brand new decks do. Because they just have more cards available. You can just pick up a couple of choice things from the new set and be able to get going. So I'm eyeballing green X midrange pretty hard because the for lack of a better term, the selection of Merfolk Branchwalker, Jadelight Ranger, coupled with, you know, big creatures, whether you're playing, you know, if you're playing the monster-style decks, you can kind of slot in Demanding Dragon over the slot that Glorybringer used to occupy. It's worse, but it's not that much worse. Being a 5-5 and, you know, either dealing 5 damage to them now to ratchet up the pressure or, you know, making them sacrifice a creature, it's almost like it has haste, but except your opponent gets to choose which mode. Or if you're in for green-black, you know, playing the value creatures in black, cards like Ravenous Chupacabra, cards like Dusk Legion Zealot at 2 mana to help you filter through your deck and get to your powerful top end of cards like Vraska or, you know, whatever it is, you know, Vivian Reed, your powerful mid-game value engines. That these are things that appeal to me a lot. And failing that, I still have the core for Mono Red and I still have a lot of the stuff for Blue Black. So I feel like I'm getting myself set for success, but I think green midrange is going to be a sleeper on the other side of this rotation. I really do. And that's going to wrap up kind of the meat and potatoes of the show, if you will. If you want to join the conversation, if you want to reach out to the show, give me some ideas, just talk to me about Magic. I love to do it. Sometimes too much. Part of the reason I started doing this podcast is because I talk about Magic too much to the point that I am frequently told, stop talking about Magic, and I didn't want to do that. So, if you want to reach out to the show, you want to talk to me, you can tweet the show or me personally at HomewardPathMTG. You can reach me on Facebook. My name is Adam Spain, or you can join the Facebook group. It is open invite, the Homeward Pathfinders, or you can post in the Constructed Criticism family group. I am also in there and fairly active. I'm not going to say really active, but fairly active. You can also, on the Facebook page and on my Twitter, there is a link to the Homeward Pathfinders Discord, or if you're already in the Constructed Criticism Discord, I'm the Adam that's always posting in there. So, that out of the way, one more time, don't forget to check out the Constructive Criticism Network as a whole. You know, Spencer is helping me with this show, so, you know, suggestions, comments, concerns can also be directed to him. They will make their way to me if you don't want to go through the trouble of contacting a whole new person. I can get it. I dig it. And that brings me to my favorite segment every week. I was trying to come up with a social media outreach program, and I could not do it. I just couldn't do it. And then it kind of came to me when I was remembering a Twitter conversation I had a couple of months ago, and that was, I have a weird sense of humor, and I love dad jokes a little bit too much. And since this show is by MTG Dads for MTG Dads, I said, let's do MTG dad jokes. So in the future, if you want your MTG dad jokes read on the show, tweet them at me with the hashtag MTG dad jokes, or just send them to me. You know, either direct message on Twitter, direct message on Facebook, put them in the Facebook group, put them in the Discord. I'm going to make a thread for them in the Discord. Let me hear them. I love a good pun, and I'm hoping you do too. The first one comes to me from, it's the one that inspired the whole thing, and it was Spencer Howland tweeting out a hot take where he said, cultivate should always be in standard. And my response to said tweet was, yeah, you know, it might help cultivate a more diverse metagame, huh? Huh? Okay, I'll see myself out. I had a little too much fun with that one. The next one comes from a Redditor named Howdy Hamster. And it's another good one. It's another gem. Said, why is John Avon bad at Magic? Anyone? It would be because he draws lands. He mostly draws lands. And last but not least, we have one from the manager of one of the branches of my local game store. And he said, you know what? Thank God, Zhalfir and Void, the colorless land from Dominaria, thank God that thing has a scry trigger on it or it would be a waste. Huh? Come on. All groaners accepted here, okay? So, I mean, in the future, if you wanna get into this, I'm gonna try to do about 5 a week if I have them. Otherwise, I'll just do my top picks. So, thanks again for listening, guys. I hope you choose to listen again, and I will catch you next week. Until then, keep at it. We can do this.